afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the State Government Finance Committee hearing for today. Just one announcement, and I'll make it at the end of the meeting also. The meeting for tomorrow, which is scheduled for 2:30, we're going to cancel that because we go into session at 3, and there's going to be no real issue there. Later on in the meeting, we'll be doing our omnibus finance bill, and we will take that bill back up Thursday. And Thursday morning, I think it's 9 o'clock, is our meeting. And at that time, we'll be taking amendments and then voting out the bill sometime Thursday. So that gives you a little timetable where we're at. If the clerk would note the roll, then Representative Jacobson, do you move approval of the minutes for March 18th?
Yes, Mr. Chair, so moved.
All right, Representative Jacobson approves the minutes of March 18th. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. First item on the agenda today is House File 2058, Representative Meslow. And Representative Meslow, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do on your bill.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I appreciate that opportunity.
All right, members, you have an A6 in your packet that in order to put this bill in order, we put this amendment on. So we're going to bring it back up for reconsideration. So first of all, we need to vote on the reconsideration of the A6 amendment, so I will move that. So all in favor of the reconsideration, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion then prevails. Then with that, we'll lay that amendment aside, and the correct amendment to go on this bill is, Representative Strand, you would like to move the A8?
Yes, I would, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So Representative Strand moves the A8 amendment, and Representative Meslow, could you tell us what it does?
Yes, Mr. Chair. You recall when we were in front of committee last time, we started running through the numbers and realized we were coming up a bit short. What this does is it establishes a filing fee of $50 for candidates for statewide office, for legislative office, and for county office. Filing fee of $10 for city office and for school board office, and a filing fee of $5 for township office.
Okay. Any discussion, members? If not, Representative Strand renews his motion on the A8 amendment. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion then prevails. And so that one is on. All right. Representative Meslow, to your bill. Have we corrected the financial implications of this bill or made a little better with those amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I believe that we've made substantial improvements in that. You'll also see that because the bill is set up, and we did this with the A8 amendment, the bill is set up so that it would actually be effective not for this fall's elections, but for elections the fall of 2005. Frankly, I think it would be an awful lot to expect of the campaign finance board to be able to put this in place for this fall, much as I think we'd all appreciate that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Is there anyone here from the department, campaign finance, who wants to testify on this? No? All right. Any discussion from members? All right. Then I will renew my motion that House File 2058 be recommended to pass and be without recommendations as amended and re-referred to the Committee of Ways and Means. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you,
Representative. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Okay. The next file is House File 3064, and I will move that. And if Reverend Battle and would come forward, and members, this is a bill that came out of the Aurora Street discussion, and Reverend Battle has come forward with a proposal. We've worked with the Attorney General's office and admin to draft this legislation to allow Reverend Battle to lease this facility, and I will turn it over to Reverend Babb. Or, Alberto, do you want to? Okay. Welcome to committee. If you identify yourself for the record, you may proceed.
Alberto Contella, Chief Deputy for the Secretary of State's Office. As the chair indicated, several weeks ago, Reverend Battle, who is the pastor of the church, Church of Christ and God across the street, approached our office and asked Secretary Kiffmeyer for some assistance in acquiring the building next door, or using the building next door, Salem Building, for his teen mentoring program. He's got about 50 kids there. We discussed that with the secretary, who advised us to contact Representative Swigen. I almost promoted him there. Representative Swigen, Speaker of the House, who referred us to Representative Rhodes and Representative Haas. We then had some subsequent discussions with the Commissioner of Administration and his staff, and also had some discussions with Attorney General Mike Hatch. The Attorney General, Carl Minnie, was in his office about 3 weeks ago, which he was present, so was Representative Haas by phone. Representative Rhodes was there, Senator Higgins was present, Commissioner Lamb was present, and so was the Attorney General and myself. At that point, we reviewed several options that were open for the use of that land, of that building, and the Attorney General proposed basically what is before you, House File Number 3064. House File 3064 was introduced by Representative Bill Haas in the House of Representatives, and the companion bill, Senate File 2934, was introduced by Senator Linda Higgins, and which directs the Commissioner of Administration to rent out space in a state-owned building at 168 Aurora in St. Paul to single needs of inner-city children in the Capitol Complex area. This property, as I've indicated, is located next to the Church of God in Christ at 441 Rice Street in St. Paul, Minnesota, which is led by Reverend Battle, who has served the African-American community in St. Paul for more than 40 years. Reverend Battle is committed to reaching out to inner city youth, not only in terms of faith-based development, but focuses on creating a positive sense of community in their young lives and the lives of their families who are struggling to make ends meet. This is accomplished by advocating for the availability and coordinating the provisions of essential services such as daycare, transportation, housing, education, and most important, 10 mentoring, so that inner city kids receive a good start in life. Reverend Battle is a well-known community leader, and I've known him for over 20 years. This legislation is critically important to many African-American youth who reside in the Capitol area. Currently, there are no child care facilities on the state of Minnesota Capitol Complex grounds. The availability of the state-owned space at 168 Aurora, just one block of the state capitol, will allow the first floor of the building to be used for a licensed daycare center for small kids, where the parents can work to support their families. The lower floor will be designated for use as a teen mentoring center to provide older children a safe place to learn and grow after school hours. Pursuant to the provisions of this bill, the Commissioner of Administration will contract for a daycare center in the building at 168 Aurora. The licensed daycare center will give preference to state employees in the provision of services, and improvements to the building must be paid for by the leasee. Must and will be paid for by the leasee. New Horizons Child Care Center and other funders are interested in committing resources to renovating that space and providing the necessary services for the center. A teen mentoring program will be offered by Motivating Teens to Victory, a family outreach program of the Church of God in Christ. The lease for the child care center and teen mentoring program will be administered at a negotiated rate. This negotiated lease agreement is designed to accommodate both the child care and teen mentoring needs of high-risk inner-city kids and their families in the Capitol Complex area. And the planned long-term use for the property at the 168 Aurora for the state of Minnesota. Fundamentally and simply, the goal of this bill and the goal of the many discussions that we have had with both sides of the aisle in a bipartisan proposal is to change the lives of inner city kids and to provide little child care services in the Capitol Complex area. At this point, I'd like to ask Reverend Battle to share with us his vision and his dream for this building.
Welcome to the committee, Reverend Battle. If you can identify yourself for the record, you may proceed.
I'm Bob Battle. I'm the pastor. I'm Bob Battle, I'm the pastor of the church at 441 Rice Street, adjacent to the property at 168 Aurora. Mr. Chair and members, thank you. The 168 Aurora project can best be described as a creative mentoring which focuses on the total family unit by providing equal access and support for underprivileged youth and their families. Creative mentoring helps young people to achieve their American dream by breaking their unending destructive cycle of drugs, violence, and teen pregnancy and become productive citizens of our society. In 1954, I founded the MTV, which stands for Motivating Teens to Victory. MTV results from a life-altering experience. First, let me begin by saying that I am the youngest of 10 children that was raised during a critical and revolutionary era in our American history, an era that fosters a climate of intense racial segregation and social injustice. Despite the social ills throughout the Deep South in Grenada, Mississippi, my dad and mom, Pastor Nathaniel Battle and Bessie Battle, successfully created an environment of love, fairness, and discipline, as well as strong spiritual conviction. At that time, I did not realize that the racial backdrop of the fight for social justice throughout the Deep South, coupled with the strong principle of moral character taught by my parents, would lay the foundation upon which I would dedicate my life. Although the foundation was laid, it was not until the racially motivated wrongful death of a young 14-year-old boy, Emmett Till, in Mississippi, that provided the catalyst upon which I would dedicate my life of service. However, initially I was very angry at society for what had happened, what I had seen happen in this boy's life. But my parent helped me to understand that we live in a democracy and we can produce change within a democracy. Let me just stop and say, my dad died in 58 and never got to vote, but this is what he taught me. I decided to work within the system at Thurgood Marshall to bring that needed change into reality through involvement in a church work group known as the YPWW, or Young People Willing Worker. I worked with this organization from the age of 14 until the age of 50. Many of the young people that I worked with through MTV are descendants from two to three generations of single-parent families. Oftentimes, nonprofit organization provides what I call temporary relief for youth. The program temporarily removes the youth from their crippling environment for a temporary period of time each week and then returns the youth back into their crippling environment upon conclusion of the program. My program is unique in that it focuses on the entire family. While the youth are in their program, the parents are receiving instructions of parenting, job training, etc. In order to break the cycle of drugs, violence, and teen pregnancy, you must affect the entire family unit. The change this experience for youth in the inner city, I teach youth abstinent prior to marriage, that reduces teen pregnancy, to study hard in school, that'll help create academics and provide scholarships, and will overcome the financial barriers that most inner city families must overcome to send their children to school. Three, to respect themselves and others. Four, to show respect to their elders by addressing adults in a traditional way of yes sir, yes ma'am. To teach women properly in order to break the burial calls. Women properly. By and that stops domestic abuse. to use good common sense to treat their family the way that they want to be treated. The family is the dichotomy of the society, and to act as ownership of the community. And that's a big one. If you think you own it, you treat it right, you take care of it, and be a respectful citizen. I could speak at length, because this has been in my life since I was 14. But I'd like, I have three young people here that I would like to have you say, something, if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman.
That is fine, Reverend Battle.
Bring they it. Are Brittany Hodge, Juan Martinez, and Tito Martinez.
Come on up. They will have to sign the register there that they spoke, but... And who
is... The three youths that are in my program right now.
Okay. Welcome to the committee. I need you to state your name for the record because we are being taped. And so we have to identify yourself. And once you do, you may proceed.
My name is Brittany Hodge. I am 9 years old. I would like to tell you how MTV is important to me. I knew it was so important that I even wrote down some notes.
Very good.
MTV is important to me because I really do not want to lose intercity tutoring. It helps me to get better at math or other subjects. And I don't want to lose the good and healthy meals that they serve to us. And it's really important to us to have that building because it's for us, for the children, and Pastor Bob Battle has done a lot for us, and it would really be nice if we could have the building. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And who is going to be next? You can state your name for the record. You may proceed.
My name is Juan Martinez, and I'm 12 years old. The reason to me why MTV needs this building is because a lot of children are on drugs, and MTV helps keep them off the streets, off drugs. And MTV is important to me because I know a lot of stuff that a whole bunch of people in my grade don't know. And it helps, it gives kids nutritious meals. Some people, they just eat junk food. That's why MTV is important.
Thank you. All right. And one more. You state your name for the record. You may proceed.
My name is Tito Martinez. I am 14 years old. And first thing I would like to say, normally I would be scared to speak in front of a large group of people, important people at that. But MTV had helped me with my speaking skills, how to stand in front of somebody or sit to speak, to make eye contact, and to not fidget around. Also, MTV had certified teachers come in to help us with our subjects in school, homework. And if we don't have homework, they give us homework so we can get better. And we will know the stuff when we go back to school. Also, if one of the adults that's in charge at our church sees somebody don't have good shoes on, or good clothes, they will give, we have a program distribution, they will give them clothes to wear, shoes to that they fit into, and a good meal. And MTV helps us with our everyday needs, like they teach us discipline, how to discipline, yes sir, yes ma'am, no sir, no ma'am, yes please, manners. And MTV helps what it means to me is because I've been in foster care for 9 years. My mom was on drugs, and it helped. MTV helped me because instead of going out on the street, stealing, don't do my schoolwork, going fighting, lying. It teaches me to do my schoolwork so I can succeed in life, and it teaches me a lot more. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The three of you can be very proud of yourselves. Reverend Battle?
Yes.
If you'd come back up, and Mr. Quinzel. Well, we can see by your three successes that your program is working very well. You will be commended for it.
Thank you, sir.
All right, members, do you have questions for Mr. or Representative Newman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To either of the witnesses, if you know, what's the current use of the building?
It's empty.
Mr. Quintel.
It's empty. The building is empty.
And follow-up question?
Mr. Newman, Representative Newman.
Organization that will be seeking this lease, I don't know if we're dealing with a nonprofit corporation, a church. Can you enlighten me on that?
Reverend Battle.
Yeah, MTV is a separate organization. It's a corporation, a nonprofit corporation, separate of the church.
Thank you. And Representative Newman, currently this building was slated to be torn down and they were going to put in 16 to 20 parking spaces. We've heard varying numbers over the last couple months of what admin wanted to do with the parking space, but several of us felt that this was a better use of the property. Representative Kahn?
Yes, I have, first of all, a question, the testimony of a sentence I don't understand, which is on the last page of 8, the family is a dichotomy of society. What does that mean?
Reverend Battle?
The family, what I look at it, if we build strong families in America, we'll have a strong society. That's what I mean.
Representative Kahn, follow up?
And I guess I gathered that there's a strong Christian orientation of this.
Reverend Battle.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There is a Christian background there because I believe that you really need to get to the inside of a person before you can make change. I don't think we can just teach and that's it. You've really got to touch the heart.
So,
follow up, Representative Kahn.
Mr. Chairman, so is the are the children and is the center only going to be then open to Christian children?
No, ma'am.
Reverend Battle.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
sorry.
Okay.
Sorry.
It's okay. We'll get it down there.
I'll put your weight in the no, ma'am. Everyone will be able to come there who wishes.
Follow up, Representative Kahn.
Will they have to, though, accept the Christian religion then to be part of it?
Reverend Battle.
No, ma'am.
The chair? Mr. Quintel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, we had some extensive discussions with Representative Rhodes on this issue. And the program, as I understand it, is designed to provide academic instructions only. It's not designed to provide religious instructions.
And Representative Kahn, Attorney General Mike Hatch has worked with several of us, and that's why, I mean, actually this bill was written with the help of the Attorney General so that we could make it possible. He's a very strong supporter of this program also. Do you have any follow-up? Otherwise, we have another.
Well, I guess okay. The question is, I mean, it's is this being proposed, is this just a one-party lease, or is this being put out for anyone to respond to?
Mr. Quintel.
Mr. Chair, we discussed this extensively with the Attorney General, and the Attorney General advised that this be put out for bids for lease. And in response to your prior question, we also discussed extensively the necessity of the separation of church and state.
Okay. Representative Seifert, or?
Mr. Chair, my question was answered by Representative Newman's question.
Any further questions? Is there anyone here from the audience who would like to speak for or against this project? If not, I will. Any other questions? If not, I'll renew my motion.
I'm just...
You're contemplating something, Representative Kahn.
Yeah, I'm a little just wanting to make sure that we have it on the record. What about children who might be from a lesbian or gay family? they be accepted?
Reverend?
Yeah, I know you from a long time.
What?
I welcome them.
Okay.
Anyone, we're trying to help children.
Okay.
Not divide them.
Okay. Well, I've gotten all these, Mr. Chairman, certainly not from you, but I've gotten all these emails about how people like this should not be treated equally, so I just want to make sure that as we move along, that we're not moving in that direction with our official state action.
All right, then, members, what we're going to do is lay this over for at this time, and we'll bring it up at a later date then. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. All right. The final thing that we have before us, members, is you have the House File 2684 before you, which is our omnibus bill, and we were going to release it. We're talking about releasing it later this week, but we made the decision to release it today, so we had to rush through it. I'd like to thank Ms. Roberts and Mr. Shepherd for all their hard work and addressing the changes that we made, and that members later on in Ways and Means today will receive our targets. This is really a working document until we get those targets. So at this point, are you ready? Okay, we'll have the bill and the spreadsheets before us.
Yes.
And Ms. Roberts will walk us through the financial part of it.
Mr. Chair, members, you should have the spreadsheet in front of you, which shows four different columns. The first is the governor's recommendations that were released earlier this year. The second column titled Chair's Recommendations are the funding proposals that are included in this bill, and then there's a column showing the difference from the governor's proposed budget changes, and then finally the estimated tails for 06-07 for the chair's proposal. I'll just begin with the legislature. There is a recommended reduction of $4 million to the carry forward for the legislature, and if you look at the language of the bill, this is split evenly between the House and Senate, $2 million each to their carry forward accounts. Going on to line three, this is an item that we discussed the other evening when the pension bill was in front of this. There's a change included in the language of the omnibus pension bill and also moving separately to the way that actuarial services are funded. Currently, they're funded in the direct general fund appropriation for the Legislative Commission, and then the Commission assesses those costs back to the plans who reimburse the general fund. The omnibus pension bill is basically moving that entire activity directly over to the funds. So you'll see in this bill that there's a reduction of $152,000 to the LCC's Pension Commission budget. And there's also, on the second page of the spreadsheet, on line 49, a corresponding reduction in the revenues to the general fund because those reimbursements will no longer be occurring. And I should note there's actually a $10,000 difference here because the Commission requested that they retain $10,000 for special projects, for example, in response to legislative requests, that they could not have assessed back to the plans anyway. Moving on, I'll move on to the governor's office. There's a $108,000 reduction. That's a 3% operating budget reduction. And you'll note throughout this that in most cases, the constitutional offices and the executive branch agencies received a 3% operating budget reduction. This is a permanent reduction. It will impact the base for 06-07, and the reduction was calculated only on their operating budget. It was not calculated on any part of their budget that would have included pass-through grants. Moving on to through the constitutional offices, on lines 8 and 9 of the spreadsheet, you'll see the state auditor has, again, a 3% operating budget reduction of $249,000. For the Attorney General, there's a 3% operating reduction of $677,000. And then you'll also note there's an additional $2 million in their carry-forward reduction. You may recall that in the last session, the legislature gave both the constitutional offices and the executive branch agencies special authority to carry forward operating funds from fiscal year 03 to 04, which is unusual. Usually those operating funds would have canceled. And in this case, there is a cancellation of $2 million to the Attorney General's balance of $3.6 million that they carry forward between the two years, the two bienniums. And then also I should note for those of you who know, may have seen earlier numbers, that the governor's recommendation, also any House position on DWI costs related to the Attorney General's office, will be carried in the Judiciary Finance Bill. Continuing on line 16 and 17, again, the Secretary of State's office, a 3% operating budget reduction of $181,000. For campaign finance, there's a recommendation which actually appears on page 3 of the bill. If you want to look at the language, it's section 15. This is an elimination of the $1.5 million standing appropriation for the public subsidy program. That program is currently funded through two sources. One is an open general fund appropriation that's equivalent to the amount that taxpayers check off on their tax forms. And this bill is not changing that open general fund appropriation. But it is eliminating a standing appropriation of $1.5 million that is appropriated to the general account. Moving on to administration, there are two items. There is a 3% operating budget reduction of $432,000. And then in addition, $2.5 million in agency relocation costs. This is an item that was discussed during the bonding proposals, and my understanding is that leadership has asked us to include this in our bill rather than in the capital investment bill. Continuing on, there's Department of Finance has a 3% operating budget reduction, and you'll note that they actually have this reduction taken in both years of the biennium, unlike other agencies that are only taking a reduction in 05, and that is because they had some carry forward in their information technology program that they are reducing. Going on to 29 and 30, you'll see finance non-operating severance costs for the Ombudsman for Corrections. While it looks like there's a difference here between the House and the Governor, it's actually a difference in the way that we're funding this. The Governor proposed to fund these severance costs for the Ombudsman through a direct appropriation, and this bill would fund them through the contingent account. So that's an appropriation that was already made in last year's bill, and this would take a portion of those funds and use them for the severance costs. Finally, on this page for employee relations, there is the 3% operating budget reduction of $186,000. At the top of the second page there, for Department of Revenue, actually this should be, it's actually a 1.5% operating budget reduction for Department of Revenue, and this is equal to the governor's recommendation. So, and the reasoning behind this was that the reduction should not hit the revenue generating portions of the department, that in particular the compliance activities. So they're only receiving a 1.5% operating budget reduction. And then onto military affairs, there's several recommendations related to that agency. First is a 3% operating budget reduction of $222,000 beginning in fiscal year 05. Second is $1.5 million per year beginning in 05 for a new mid-career enlistment incentive program. This was in the governor's recommendations. It would provide a $1,000 bonus to mid-career National Guard members, and I believe they're eligible for this for up to 5 years. The third item is funding to bring the tuition reimbursement program up to 100% funding. That would be a maximum that the department would be allowed to provide reimbursement for, and they would have to, depending on the funding level available in out years, they may have to adjust that percentage, but they would be authorized to reimburse up to 100%. And finally, there's $50,000 for 1 year for the National Guard Youth Camp. This was a bill we heard, I believe, last week. It was Representative Bruce Anderson's bill. And the last item related to executive branch agencies is for Veterans Affairs, again, a 3% operating budget reduction of $78,000. In addition to these operating budget reductions and changes, there are three general fund revenue changes that we are tracking in this bill. The first, again, is the pension commission actuary change, which is a loss of those reimbursements because of the change in the funding mechanism. The second is the lottery unclaimed prize transfer, and this, I believe, was discussed, has been discussed at several points along the way, and in this proposal, the full amount of the unclaimed prize transfer would go to the general fund for $2.1 million. And finally, under administration, the sale of surplus state lands. This may be familiar to you from the last session, state government finance bill. The bill requires the Department of Administration to identify and sell $5.875 million worth of surplus state land. And similar to the bill that was passed, the provision that was passed last session, if they are unable to identify this amount of land to sell, the difference would be allocated to executive branch operating budgets. And that brings us to the conclusion of the totals for the bill. The total expenditure changes in the bill are a reduction of $4.9 million. There's a general fund revenue gain from those three items I just discussed of $7.8 million, which brings the net general fund change contained in this bill to $12,762,000. That's a reduction. And then in addition to the changes in this bill, there were two bills passed separately that will impact this committee's target. First is the Omnibus Pension Bill, which included a $40,000 appropriation for the volunteer firefighter study. And in addition, there were two bills. One were Representative Lippman's and Representative Thiessen's bill related to different filings in the Secretary of State's office. Those were combined, and they have a $3,000 gain in general fund revenues. And those will also be counted against our target.
Members, that is the bill that we have before us, and we'd like you to take it home and read it tonight and mull it over, and you know, any amendments that you have, we'll be dealing with these on Thursday morning, because we're not going to meet tomorrow. That meeting is canceled because we have floor session at 3, and would not give us sufficient time, so we'll do amendments and vote the final bill on Thursday. And we'll start that process at 9 o'clock. So that gives you a little timetable. Representative Paymar, you had a comment.
No questions. I thought I heard you say that the funding for the AG's positions for DWI was in the judiciary bill. Is that in? Because I didn't see it in the judiciary bill.
They put up implementation for this biennial.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Mr. Giordo.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's my understanding from speaking with the committee administrator that it's not a funding issue for this biennium because they put off implementation of .08 until the next biennium.
Okay. Is that the 07 implementation
no.
date? Or?
I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Other questions? All right. Well, Representative Kahn.
I mean, do you mean us not to ask questions now?
Well, if you want to, if you have some clarifying questions for Mr. Shepard or Ms. Roberts.
I would like so. Did all the executive agencies, did any of the others have carry forward funds?
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, yes, I believe almost every agency did carry forward some amount from the end of 03 to 04. It varied greatly from agency to agency. In some cases, they carried forward an amount, and then, as you'll recall, we had a $17.8 million general reduction, and that may have wiped out their carry forward. In some cases, for example, we noted that the Attorney General had a balance. The Department of Finance also had a balance, which is why they took a reduction also in 04. So I actually can provide that information if you'd like it.
Yes, I'd like to know the other ones. And then a question of the issue of the legislative carry forward reduction. What is that used for? What is the legislative carry forward fund used for?
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, there are three permitted purposes for Mr. Shepard has it right here. This is different than executive branch agencies. This is a standing authority for the legislature to carry forward money from year to year, and they have to deposit it in a special balance. And the purposes are for, number one, for non-recurring expenditures on investments that enhance efficiency or improve effectiveness. Number two, to pay expenses associated with special sessions, interim activities, public hearings, or other public outreach efforts and related activities. And number three, to pay severance costs for involuntary terminations. So those are the three permitted uses.
Follow up with one time?
Are there any, well, I noticed that there's a big difference between what the governor cut and what the chair cut. I just wondered what plans there are and how long this goes. This goes then until the next biennium, which there would have been a character. I mean, for example, the first one I gathered would be for information systems improvement. So I don't know if there are any plans that are being canceled because of this or what's happening. I mean, I frankly just don't know enough about what it might be used for and what the plan is and what the, in a sense, you know, what the difference between doing nothing, the governor's position, and the chair's recommendation is in terms of what we do. And in a sense, isn't the legislative carry-forward account almost like a reserve, a budget reserve? Of course, if there are any plans to spend it, it just sits there. So
basically, if I'm not mistaken, Ms. Roberts, it's in Representative Kahn, it's an account that just sits there because it has been accumulating and it has been not used for reserving. As far as the AG's office, I know it was being recommended we cut a lot more out of that carry forward from the AG's office, and I felt it was important to retain. And this leaves, I think, $1.6 million in their carry forward still to deal with any unexpected cost in .08 or any unexpected cost that they might have in the sexual predator program, because I felt I didn't want to take almost all of it. I thought I don't want to hurt the Attorney General's office to the point where they can't perform the duties that they're going to have to do under the sexual predator program. Or and have them fall short and we create some problems.
And Mr. Chairman, have I missed something?
Representative Kahn.
Or do we have targets?
Targets will be established, Representative Kahn, in Ways and Means at 4:30 today.
Okay.
So this is in contemplating of that target.
Okay. Then the next question is under the state auditor, one of the things, and again, I just don't change the way we deal with these accounts from year to year, so I don't quite understand what's happening with this. At some point we were putting, is that office now totally funded from the general fund, or is there a special audits account fund? And what happens at some point when we make cuts in the auditor's office, you're making cuts in their ability to perform audits that they would be paid back for. Is this cut doing that in any way?
Ms. Roberts.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, I think this cut is unspecified. I think what you're referring to is their practice division, which is they do charge for their audits, and those reimbursements go to the general fund. And it would be an issue, I think, that the office would have to speak to on whether or not these cuts would impact that part of their operations.
Well,
Representative Kahn.
Chairman, that's one of the problems. If we only look at expenditures without, we only look at spending, which is why I've always disliked budget resolutions, which were just spending resolutions and not balancing resolutions. Because if we cut something that stops a practice that people want and that we would be reimbursed for, it just doesn't make any sense in the long run, although it gives us a apparent cut in spending. But if we're cutting, so I guess I'd like to know exactly. And as I said, we've gone back and forth. The auditor is now funded totally from the general fund, and it goes back. We didn't put back the audit practice account. Is that true?
Mr. Roberts. Representative Kahn, they're primarily funded.
It's an account, but it's not a fund, or it is a fund?
Ms. Roberts.
I'm sorry. They're primarily funded through a direct general fund appropriation. They do have, for example, some TIF funding and a percentage of that, but their primary operations are funded through the direct general fund appropriation, and then when the office charges for their audits, those reimbursements go to the general fund, not back to the office.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, what?
Representative Kahn.
What I need to know is how much of this appropriation impacts that activity. And is there any sense in doing that? A justification of, is there any sense in doing that?
Okay. And that I don't think we're going to answer, but we'll get you an answer. Okay, Representative Cornish.
Almost called me Kilkus.
I know it, it was close.
Maybe this would be a better question for the staff, but is there anything in this budget that would discriminate otherwise or inhibit the flow of any of this funding to Christian heterosexuals? I just thought since Representative Kahn pushed her political agenda, I pushed mine. Yeah. It had absolutely nothing to do with anything.
Okay, Representative Cornish, no. Any other questions?
I was only asking about discrimination.
Yeah.
You too.
Okay. Members, to try to be fair to staff, you know, Mr. Shepherd for writing amendments and our staff to copy them, if we could get amendments to Mr. Jordahl by 5 o'clock tomorrow, then it gives us ample time to work with it. And if there's a special exception bill, maybe you want to come talk to us, but if we could get amendments to us as soon as possible, just, you know, I just don't want to burden staff with last minute, and gives everybody a chance to take a look at it. So.
Mr. Chair, I apologize for being late. I had a bill up in capital investment. I didn't realize that it would precipitate quite such an involved discussion as it appears to have.
You must have wooed Representative Crinkley pretty good, huh?
Well, he just likes to explore some questions in great detail. I was wondering, Mr. Chair, have we heard or are we going to hear testimony from the departments about how they anticipate dealing with this budget reduction?
Representative Hilty, we're going to take testimony on Thursday morning. We're going to start at 9 o'clock. Okay. And we'll do amendments, testimony, and then vote the bill. Okay. Because we'll be in Ways and Means next week. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Kahn.
Does that 9 o'clock conflict with any other finance committee that, for example, usually meets at that time?
Mr. Jordahl.
This is, Friday is, of course, the fiscal deadline, and I'm unaware of any that are precisely overlapping with that committee time, but I anticipate that many of the finance committees are going to be very busy this Thursday. It's as much as anything, a morning meeting was necessitated because we're trying to cram in so many floor sessions too, but a great deal of consideration went in. We thought initially of doing an afternoon meeting, but we thought a morning meeting would be best, and we did of course have to add that hearing since we don't ordinarily meet on Thursday, but we're compressed with Friday being the fiscal deadline for the omnibus finance bills.
I just checked this. I think environmental finance, which I'm on, is in a question on too.
I don't know if that meets Thursday or not.
Okay.
We'll get you for any critical vote, Representative Kahn.
We're prepared.
Well, you cancel each other, so we're okay. We're in good shape.
Okay.
So if everybody's straight, Thursday morning, 9 o'clock, we'll take amendments, testimony, and then sometime Thursday as we get through the amendments and the testimony, we'll vote on the issue. So with that, any other further questions? If not, meeting is adjourned. Thank you.